Good morning, good morning, my good people. Usually I do my podcast at night, but today I am changing it up a bit and I'm doing a morning podcast. So good morning to you all today. I just want to start off by saying hello and letting you know what I've been up to over the past few weeks. So let's see. I went to a birthday party. Last month, it was actually the birthday party for my best friend's mother-in-law, and I've basically been adopted into the family, so, like, my best friend's, like, my sister, so she's, like, I don't know if she would necessarily be my mother-in-law, too. I don't think that's how that works. I guess it's, like, more like an aunt-in-law or something like that. I don't know, but anyways, it was her birthday. And I had a good time with the family, seeing all the kids and all the siblings, all her children, and all of that. So, great time. Great, great, great time. We actually went to the Lux Buffet in Rancho Cucamonga, California. And it's pretty good. I had some seafood, which is pretty much their theme is seafood, but I had some sushi, had some salmon, had a lot of good different vegetables and things. So if you're doing something, you want to be able to eat healthy and still have stuff for like people that don't eat healthy to eat, that would be a great place to go. I also went to a funeral earlier last month, and it's funny because I had at first I had decided I wasn't gonna go, because funerals are just not my thing. Like, I go usually when it's for a family member of mine, you know, to go ahead and, honor their life, but, this particular person was, somebody that I knew in a sense, because I always greeted her every time she would come to our church. And, but it was more of a knowing of her and, you know, seeing her around. But, I decided to go because I did want to support the family, and I actually had a talk with one of my friends, and she just said, you know, maybe this is just something you need to do. And you know, if, you know, I don't think it'll be necessarily be hard for you since, you know, you letting me know that this is not a particular relative or anything, maybe will make it a little bit easier for you and you can be there to help others. And I didn't look at it in that light at that time. So when she said it, I was like, you know what, you're absolutely right. So I went in support of the family. I went in support of my pastor, who did the eulogy as well. And, you know, the daughter of the loved one that has now passed, she actually was so grateful for me that she gave me a token of appreciation, and I used that to pay for my dinner later that night. But it was just nice to be acknowledged, because, you know, sometimes you work really hard on things, and she was so grateful for me to be there that she wanted to show a token of appreciation. And I believe for this particular person, her love language may be gifts. My mom's love language is the same thing, so I completely understand it. So when she gave me something like it, it meant a lot to me to receive that and to know that that I really made a difference for her and for her family. So that felt great. Next thing was a baby shower. I went to the most awesome baby shower. Like, I told my friend, I turned to my best friend, I was like, how do we end up at the lit table? She was like, I don't know. And then I was like, you know what, it's because we didn't bring all your kids. Note, my best friend has 5 kids, so most of the time we ended up at any type of like family events or whatever, we end up sitting at the table with her 5 kids and we're talking to them and disciplining them the whole time while her husband is off gallivanting, being the life of the party. But this time there was no kids that were involved or allowed to come, so we got to just have fun and be ourselves, and there was games and there was dancing, and we just had a phenomenal time. I was just like, wow, like, this is really good. and like everyone was having a good time. There wasn't nobody like causing any drama, you know. It was just a very cool atmosphere, a very cool mood, and I've seen sides of people that I've never seen before. I guess that's what happens when they don't bring their kids. So that was just a fun experience all in all. Then I let's see. Oh, I went back to the rail, you guys. I went back to the rail for a second time. I went VIP, which it's not that different. I mean, you get to avoid the line. You get to avoid the like really more extensive like security check and all that. And it's a much shorter, it's a much smaller group, so you get in quicker. The walk is shorter. And we actually went to two shows that day. So for the second show, I was able to just like walk in. It was weird. But we had a good time. My best friend and I went again, and then we brought along her husband, and he had a good time as well. So it was all fun. We actually discovered a new restaurant out there called Olive and Thyme, and it's a really cute restaurant. I have been meaning to put the pictures up on Instagram. Hopefully I will be doing that soon. But it just had a very like hipster type feel to it. Had a lot of like plants around. It was kind of like a deli slash bakery type place. I had these pancakes, which everything is like organic too. So it is a little bit pricier because everything's organic, but everything tastes so fresh. Like, I remember telling my best friend I had the pancakes and I could taste the eggs in the pancakes. That's how fresh it was. And I had strawberries on it, and also had this homemade strawberry whipped cream topping. It was so good, you guys, so good. I couldn't even finish them all because it was a nice healthy helping as well. So we did that, and you guys, I went to the Bruno Mars concert last week. Oh my gosh, like, you guys, I'm so in love with Bruno Mars. I can't even tell you, like, I have the biggest crush on him, and I just think he's so funny. He's such a good dancer. He's so talented. He has a beautiful voice. And I don't know if you guys saw the little snippet video that he did with Lunel on Instagram. It's so hilarious, but I'm low-key like jealous of her right now. But you know, I know he has a woman and everything, and no shade on her. I think they're the cutest couple. But I do love him. I really do. And I had such a good time at the concert. This is actually the concert I mentioned before that I was saying I was going to another concert solo. I have a story about that, which I'll tell you guys later. But yeah, I did go solo and I had a great time. The next thing I went to was we had a major youth event at my church, and oh my gosh, so many children were blessed. They all got prayed for. They got prophetic words. You know, you believe in that. I definitely do. Every prophetic word that I've ever gotten from, especially from my leader, but any prophetic word that I've gotten from an anointed, Holy Ghost filled leader in Christ has come true, or is in process of coming true, or I believe it will come true. So I do definitely believe in that. And it was just, it was phenomenal being there in the atmosphere. The way God moved was just awesome. And we need more of those. And then I went to another birthday party, actually, just last Sunday. I went to, I'm probably going to get this name so wrong. It's like Akayu or something like that. It's a Japanese restaurant in Victoria Gardens. And it's the one where you get to, like, cook your own food. I didn't cook my own food. I opted to get ramen, which the ramen was pretty good. It was, like, a spicy, like, beef ramen. And then I got some, like, these little fried chicken nugget type things. It was basically cut up chicken breast, but it had like more of an Asian seasoning on it, so it had like a little bit of a sweet taste to it. They're pretty good as well. And then we had s'mores. Me and my best friend could not pass up the s'mores, so we roasted our own s'mores on the little grill that they have, and it was just fun. It was a good time. They had these cute little Chanel cupcakes. The a theme of the birthday was black and gold, and it had like Chanel and the cupcakes. It was really cool, really classy, and fun. Then I went to last night. We are getting to the end of all the places I've been. I know this is getting kind of lengthy, this segment. But I went to my best friend's husband, which his name is Leon. He had a album/book release party, and that was really fun. We got to listen to all his music. He came out with a book called Gossip. It is available on Amazon. It's available at Barnes & Noble, barnesandnoble.com. And then his music is available on iTunes, and I believe it's on Google Play as well. His name is Leon Brewer, so you can probably find it that way. But yeah, it was a great time. It was very what is the word? It was a small party, so it was very cozy, very I can't remember the word. But it was a very good atmosphere. We had an interview about the book, and we listened to some music. We had some snacks. He made this, which he cooked for his own release party. He's so funny. We had like this, there was a shrimp version, and there was a chicken version, and it was like this Creole shrimp cream tomato sauce on waffle. Yeah, on waffle, guys. And the waffle threw me off because I didn't know waffles were in there, but it was actually really tasty, so kudos to him. I got a book. I bought myself a book and a CD, and my mom a book and a CD. So I'll be getting that to her. But I've just been out here living life, guys. Like, if any of you want to send me a voice comment on what you've been doing to live your best life, you are completely welcome to do that. And this ends this part of the segment. Thanks.
So, a little side note, I forgot to say in my first segment that I was ushering at the funeral, and that's why I was given a gift for coming and being helped. Not just for attending the funeral, I'm not that grand, that she gave me a gift for just coming to the funeral and supporting. But yeah, I actually worked at the funeral, so, but I you know, I did it out of my heart. I didn't expect anything in return, so it was really nice, and I'm glad that it was appreciated.
Okay, so quick note about the Bruno Mars concert. So, first of all, I was just a teensy bit disappointed because I wanted to see Ciara, and I didn't realize it was like a certain opener each night. So I actually had ended up buying tickets for the night that Boyz II Men was there, which I'm not completely disappointed because I do love Boyz II Men. I was able to sing like pretty much all of the songs, and they're great. They still sound good. They still look good. They were moving, and I know they are a big inspiration to Bruno, so I'm sure that was great for him to have them there as well. And so that was fun. All of the fans around me were like into it. You guys, there was this these two Asian ladies, and they were speaking in, I'm not sure what language next to me, but they surely knew every one of those songs in English. And I'm talking about Boyz II Men. They knew the Bruno Mars songs too, but like they knew every one of those songs in English. So that just tells you how music just transcends everywhere, you know. I never once heard them say anything in English but the songs. So it's crazy. Now, as I mentioned before, I was there alone. This was a solo concert for me. And there was this lady, this older lady, older Caucasian lady that was sitting next to me. And like at one point in time, I was just sitting there, you know, I wasn't on my phone. I don't know. I guess I was just thinking. I was just looking out into the crowd and stuff. It was at a point where nothing was really going on. There was just kind of like music playing. that like the backstage must have been playing or something. Like the DJ, there was a DJ that came out and she did some mixing and stuff for a little while, and then she had gone back and it was just basically like just whatever background music they were playing in like the Staples Center. And I could see this woman looking at me from my peripheral, and I was just like, oh, thinking to myself, like, oh my gosh, like, what is she looking at? Like, why is she looking at me so long? And I just tried to like ignore it, and then like 5 minutes later she finally was like, hey, are you by yourself? And I was like, yeah, I'm by myself. And she was like, oh, okay, because I was just looking at you and I noticed that nobody was talking to you. And I feel like she felt sorry for me, like she felt sorry for me for like being there by myself. And it's like, you know, like, it's just amazing what society's perception is like. And then a little bit later she was like, yeah, like, he should get out of here soon, could come out soon, you know, I don't know why he has us waiting. And I was like, yeah, we have been waiting for a minute, but, you know, it'll be good. And she was like, yeah, I know, we're ready to have a good time, or something she said. And she didn't say much after that. Eventually, Bruno did come out. He started performing and everything. And the funny thing is, I think she was there with her daughter, because she was there with a lady. She may have been older than me, I'm not sure, but she was a lot younger. She definitely was probably, like, in her 30s, though. And she was a lot younger, and she knew, like, all the words to the songs and stuff. So, I don't know if she just brought her mom along, but I kind of felt bad because, like, I was standing up, and I was, like, dancing, you know, to the songs and singing the songs. That's what you do at a concert, but the lady was, like, sitting there. So, I'm like, oh, my God, like, it's my butt in, like, her face, you know? So, and they ended up eventually trading places, and it's so funny because there was two ladies sitting on the other side of them, two older ladies, who was also just sitting during the concert. And so I remember looking over at one point in time, and this particular woman that had switched seats with her daughter, she was over there talking to the ladies, just having a good time laughing and talking with them. So it actually worked out better because her daughter was standing up and dancing and she knew all the songs. So it kind of made me feel more comfortable because I'm like not waving my butt like in some older lady's face. But I just thought the main point of the story is I just thought it was so funny that she was like, oh my gosh, are you by yourself? Like she felt sorry for me. And I totally was happy to be there. You know, I didn't feel sorry for myself. When you're at a concert, you're dancing, you're singing and stuff, you don't really need somebody to be there, you know? So I just thought I'd share that little moment with you guys. Okay, so now for our topic today. I wanted to take a moment to talk about self-care because, it was a time where I didn't know the difference between self-care and self-love. I know it's sad to say, but I did not know the difference. So in case there's anybody out there, I want to take a moment to talk about self-care today. So pretty much, you know, especially since I, like I mentioned to you guys before, I went through a time of depression where, you know, when you're in depression, you are missing self-love. But you can actually be in depression and still have self-care. I feel like most of the time you lose that eventually as well too, which, or at least that's what it was in my case. You know, I really wasn't dressing up anymore. I wasn't, you know, taking showers every day, shamefully, I admit that, because I spent a lot of my time sleeping. I wasn't going to get my nails done, you know, I, really let my hair, kind of go because I have natural hair, and then at that time I had a lot of blonde in my hair. About half of my hair was like an amber blonde, and I had been taking really good care of it for about a year, and my texture was fine, everything was fine. And this was my second go around bleaching it, and the first go around was not good. I didn't know how to take care of it, but I learned from the first go around how to take care of it. So when I bleached it, I grew it back out, and I bleached it the second time. My texture was great. My color wasn't exactly how light as I wanted it to be, but I never really got around to going back for another lightening and toner, so it ended up just being the amber color. But either way, I still like it better than my brown hair. Don't know why. I think I was just supposed to be blonde for some reason. I'm not blonde right now, though, by the way. I'm only brunette. Trying to just focus on the health of my hair and growing it out and all that. But if anyone has ever bleached their hair, you know that it's a lot more babying your hair. A lot more that you have to do to take care of it. And so after a while, you know, when I was going through my depression moment, my hair did start to break off again because I wasn't doing what I was doing before to keep it up and keep it moisturized and keep it strong and all those good things. So all of that is a part of self-care, you know, doing your hair, doing your makeup, making sure your clothes look good, getting massages, spending time with friends and family, doing what you like to do, to have alone time, to have times to think, thought processes and all that. And for me, that's writing and reading, which I still don't really make enough time, I think, to do those things. This is actually something that I started doing because it's self-care for me, being able to get my thoughts out and pursue what I believe is a part of my purpose. Is all self-care. And you know, for me, a long time ago, when I was younger, when I was in my early 20s again, I did think self-care was self-love, because, you know, as long as I look good on the outside, you know, then that is loving myself, is what I thought. You know, as long as I take care of myself, I'm, you know, washing my body, I'm putting on makeup, I look nice, you know, I love myself. Which love is an action thing, and it's an internal thing, which I'll get more on self-love specifically later in another podcast. But I just wanted to take the time to say, yes, self-care is something that's necessary, and it can definitely be a part of you expressing your self-love, but it's not self-love in itself. And self-care is just important, you know, because I believe if you don't care for yourself, then it is a reflection of what point you are when it comes to your self-love, you know, because it's usually rooted to something else that's wrong. Either you have an insecurity issue, you might be depressed like I was, you know, you might feel like you don't deserve to be taken care of, or you might be a mom that pours herself out into her kids, so, you know, you kind of just throw on anything, you know, you don't really take time for yourself, which is not good either, because you don't want to fall apart because you're not getting enough rest and you're not taking care of yourself. So self-care is definitely a tool, I believe, that you can use to help with self-love, but is not self-love in itself, like I said. But it's necessary. It's necessary because that's how you basically like replenish or re-energize yourself. Because once you do something, especially like something like massage or going on a vacation or taking a day to, I self-care for me is watching TV. I grew up watching TV. With me, my mom, she was very overprotective. I was kind of shy when I was younger. I didn't have a lot of friends. I became more popular and stuff in high school. I had a lot of friends in high school, and I had a good amount of friends, probably like sixth grade through junior high. I had a pretty good handful of friends. But before that, before probably fifth grade, I didn't really have friends. And my friend, My mom would tease me when I was younger. It was a joke of hers, but it was really true. My best friend was my television. Like, I remember when I turned 12, my mom got me TV and cable in my room because I just watched TV so much. That's what I did. Especially since I was getting older. So I wasn't playing like with Barbies and stuff anymore. Because when I was younger, that's what I did. I played by myself. I had lots of Barbies. I had lots of dolls, lots of different toys. I made bracelets. I had like color paint, a lot of different like creative stuff. I played a lot by myself. I had like those little sand art things, if anybody remembers those. Beads, rubber bands, Play-Doh, like everything. Anything that you could do that you can create and make by yourself, I was pretty much doing that. So for me, TV is a release. It gives me a chance to, and this has been since I was younger, it gives me a chance, just like a book. A book does the same thing for me, except a book is more in depth because I feel like it involves your emotions more. It involves your own perception because you have to use your imagination. So the way someone, one person might interpret, you know, a story in a book, I might interpret it differently based on my own experiences. So a book is more in-depth and I think it's better. But, you know, sometimes you fall asleep watching, you know, reading a book, or, you know, sometimes it's a little bit harder to get through a book. Whereas watching TV is kind of like a mindless, you know, hobby. Like, you don't have to think. You can just watch. And I guess it kind of, for me, it gives my brain a moment to rest. Because I'm the type of person, I'm always with my thoughts. I'm always speaking to myself within myself. I'm always having multiple thoughts at a time. My mind is always going. And that's just a part of who I am. And so TV kind of quiets that for me. It gives me one thing to focus on and see. And if I am having thoughts, it's about whatever I'm watching. And if I am saying anything, it's about whatever I'm watching. So TV is a part of self-care for me. It has been since I was a child. TV and movies, I love having that moment to just watch and kind of view someone else's life. And then it does help you put things in perspective sometimes, see things from other people's, or at least the character's perspective and everything. But it really gives me a moment for my mind to shut off. So I really believe watching TV shows, and I'm not a big TV person right now. Like, I watch certain shows on like apps on my phone, but I don't even have a television in my house right now. And I love movies, especially movies from when I was younger. All like the 80s and 90s movies and stuff. I love those. But yeah, that for me is my biggest self-care. But then I also love picking out outfits. I've always liked clothes. My mom has always been really stylish, and she used to pick me out like the cutest little outfits and stuff when I was younger. And when I probably around middle school, I started kind of developing my own style and picking out my own stuff and figuring out how I want to wear my hair. And still now as an adult, I will have like 3 to 5 outfits just picked out. I don't even know where I'm going. I'll just have them picked out because I really love styling outfits. I really love dressing myself. And I'm not like, I don't really follow trends. Like, if the trend is cute, then yeah, I'll wear it. And it'll probably just so happen to be during the season that it's out. But if I continue like it after it's out of season, I'm still going to wear it. And if there's something that's not particularly popular in the season, or it's just, you know, overlooked, or it's not something that everybody wears, if I feel like it looks good on me, then I'm going to wear it. And I've always been confident about my body. I've always been confident about my clothes. And that's something that, like I said, when I was in that depression mode, like, I wasn't picking out clothes. I kind of was just wearing like yoga pants everywhere and just looking like whatever, feeling, walking around feeling frumpy, you know. And I was never that person for a long time. I always, like, you know, would be the little bit more dressed up person in the room. But I didn't have a problem with that. I liked being dressed up, and it wasn't for attention. It wasn't for anything. It was for myself, because I just like clothes. I like putting together clothes. I like putting together outfits. And so for me, having a place to go, I'm like, ooh, I got this outfit that I, you know, had in my mind to wear somewhere, and I'm going to wear it now. And then if I remember, I told you guys, I went to a birthday last heart Sunday. I went to a birthday party, and I was so mad because church went longer than what I expected, and I wanted to go home and change into one of these outfits that I had already picked out. And so I was mad because I didn't get to change into my outfit. I mean, I got over it, but like, this is how serious I am about clothes and picking out clothes. And I love it. It's just like my thing. Like, I think if I'm ever able to do it in the future, I would love to like style people, you know. That would be something that would just be fun to do. What else? I like getting my toes done. I like to go get like spa pedicures. I had a season where I went to get my eyebrows threaded. That was fun. That was an experience. I did love it while I was doing it, but I'm kind of in this season now where I've always loved my thick eyebrows, and that's the reason why I went to go get them threaded, but like, because they know how to properly shape thick eyebrows. But what I noticed is that they shaped them every single time, and my eyebrows ended up getting thinner and thinner. And so I had to be very specific, like, I'm growing out my eyebrows, I'm growing out my eyebrows. And then, like, after a while, I was just like, you know what? And I have to give homage to Shira Yahidi and Beyonce, because they had a couple of close-up pictures in some magazines, and I could see, like, they are rocking their full brows. And I said, you know what? Especially Yara, because like, she has like middle brow hairs, which I have those too. I'm not that confident. I still shave those off, but you know, she is completely rocking her full brows, and they're beautiful. And I've always had a beautiful arch, natural shape to my brows, which is the reason why I've always loved them. And I kind of let peer pressure throughout like high school, in my early 20s and stuff, my sister would be like, well, why don't you thin them out? Because remember in the 2000s, like, thin eyebrows were a thing. And I was like, no, I like my thick eyebrows. And my eyebrows still weren't as thin as everybody else's, but they were thinner than what my natural eyebrow shape is. And I gave up on the eyebrow threading, because I just didn't like that fact that my eyebrows were getting thinner and thinner. My eyebrows looked awesome. They look great. So if that's what you're going for, then get your girl. I'm not, you know, shutting down on you getting your eyebrows threaded, girl. Do it. I did it for like a year and a half. But for me, this was just another part of, you know, embracing myself and not allowing, you know, peer pressure to determine who I am or who I'm going to be or what I'm going to do or what type of decisions I'm going to make, because I've always loved my eyebrows. And I kind of got away from loving them fully, you know. So now they're just here, and I have all kinds of like growth. I got little, you know, I don't know if they're called blind spots or blank spots. You know, I pretty much like, if I'm putting on makeup, then I'll fill them in. Or if I just want to look more polished, then I do have the Anastasia. That's the powder that I use to fill them in. But I also have like the kit that comes with the gel in it. So if I just want them to look more like in place, because they can get really like fuzzy and look like two little caterpillars sitting on my face, I can brush them and put the gel on it, and that way the hair stay in place, just to make them look more polished, without the powder or anything. And then sometimes if I'm like really going somewhere, then I put the powder and the gel. So it just depends on the mood I'm going for, if I'm wearing makeup or not. Usually if I'm just putting just the gel, just to keep it in place, I'm probably wearing, if any makeup, I'm probably wearing eyeliner, or I might just be wearing lip gloss or something, depending on where I'm going. But yeah, other than that, on a daily basis, you're getting the full natural eyebrow. It can be frizzy or whatever. That's just me. I'm not a person that wears makeup every day. I probably never will be. I don't want to put that type of pressure on myself. Unless I'm like, I don't think I'm going to be like, I wouldn't say in the entertainment industry. I feel like those are the only people that really like have a reason to have like makeup on every day. I mean, some people, they like themselves in makeup. I'm not shading you on that or anything. If that's your thing, then that's your thing. But I'm saying for me, it would have to be one of those things where I'm in the public eye, I guess is a better way to say it. Like, I'm in the public eye every day, and then I would probably wear makeup more often. I still couldn't commit to every day. It would probably be those days that I'm particularly in the public eye, or if I'm doing it, like a post to, like the influencers, for instance, like I would understand them wearing makeup all the time because they're always in front of the camera. But I guess I went off on a tangent. But yeah, those are the type of things that are self-care for me. Oh, another thing, which kind of relates to my eyebrows. I have very nice, strong, natural nails. If you follow me on Instagram, I don't have a picture on my Single Strip Goals Instagram. Maybe that's something I can add. But my nails, they grow pretty long. For a point in time, I was getting gel sets all the time, and like it started to ruin my nails. And I feel like I have nails that are like kind of hard to come by. And I'm not trying to be like bragging about myself or anything, but I do have beautiful natural nails. I have very pink nail beds. I remember one time I had got like just like painted on French tip. And the nail lady asked me like, oh, do you want, you know, pink at the bottom? And I was like, no, just, you know, put the tip on and paint them clear. And I remember, I don't know if it was while I was working at the bank or when it was, but I was working and a particular customer came and she was like, oh my gosh, I love your nails. She was like, what pink is that on your nails? And I was just like, it's just my nail. It's just my nail bed. Like, and she was like, oh my gosh, your nail bed is like, it's nice. Like, it's a nice pink color. And it's just my natural, you know, color of my nail. And then I actually don't need white tips. Like, it's not like that crisp white, like, which you would have on a French tip, but I do have nice, thick, you know, off-white nails. So, like, the portion of your nail that actually grows out, you know, that sticks off, I don't know how to explain it, but that part is pretty white. It's, you know, it's like an off-white, a little bit darker than off-white, maybe an ivory, but compared to, like, other people's nails, like, it's a nice, thick white. Is not transparent like some people's nails are, like kind of transparent. No, they're thick, they're nice. I always keep them kind of like in a square shape, and they get really long, and I love it. And you know, there was a certain point in time, like I said, when I was out like a year or two ago, I was doing a lot of traveling during the summer, so I was getting a lot of gel on my nails, and I wasn't getting any acrylic or anything like that, which I have done in the past. But after getting it a few times, like probably like in my mid-20s, I just was like, you know, acrylic is not for me, because it also messed up my nails. Now with gel, it doesn't mess up your nails right away. It's more of like after you keep doing it over and over again, and you know, they're filing down your nails to put the gel on, your nails get thinner and thinner, and then like removing the gel off, it takes like a little bit of your nails with it. And after a while, I was just like, you know what? Like, my nails were so, like, thin at the end of that summer from getting them done over and over again. I was just like, you know what? It's not for me. So it's so funny. The last time I went and got my nails done was when I went to the ball, which I told you guys about the like, gala slash ball thing we did for our church anniversary, or my pastor's ministry anniversary. And I just told her, like, and this is another thing, I stopped getting manicures too. I'm probably like, what? Like, how can you not get a manicure? You get pedicures and not manicures. Now, here's the thing. I used to get both pedicures and manicures and then just get my nails painted. But what I noticed that every time I get a manicure, I get hangnails. And so, like, I don't have a lot of, like, cuticle in my nail. I feel like my nails need whatever cuticle is there because that's what's keeping my nails healthy and keeping them from breaking and keeping them how they are, you know? So I decided to stop getting manicures and I'll just get, you know, the pedicure. The pedicures were great for my toes. I like to keep my toenails cut short. You know, I like them to get the whatever little dry skin off of my heel and my foot. You know, pedicures are awesome. I will forever get pedicures. I probably will get them more often when I become more successful and have more money. But I remember I wanted my nails done too, and I just told her, you know, instead of getting a manicure, I told her, you know, just paint them. And she was like, are you sure? She was like, do you want a manicure? And I was like, no, just paint them. And I guess it just comes to a certain time where you know what you need and you know how to take care of yourself. Nobody else can tell you how to take care of yourself better than you. You know what you need. You know what your body needs. You know how much rest you need. That's another thing. Rest is a big thing. I'm a big sleeper. I need a lot of sleep, honestly, to function. I need 7 to 8 hours a night. And if I don't get that, best believe, sometime within that week, I'm crashing. And some people say making up sleep is a myth. Me, I will stay to sleep 9 to 14 hours if I've been sleep deprived more than a couple days. And that's just how my body works. And then there are times that I even get sick from not sleeping enough. Like, it's usually a combination of sleeping and not eating right. And one usually leads to the other. So if I don't do that, I start getting lightheaded. I get nauseous. I get sick. I lose energy. A lot of things happen. So my body has shown me I have to get rest. I can't not get rest. And I used to guilt myself for it for a long time because I don't, you know, I'm single. I don't have a family as far as like kids and a husband and whatever. I don't have this whole household to take care of. I'm only taking care of myself. And I used to feel bad because I'm sleeping so much. But this is just something that my body requires. Not everybody's body is the same. Some people can sleep for 3 or 4 hours. And that's enough for them to feel re-energized and go about their day. And I'm glad for them because they get a lot more production out of their day. Especially someone like me that likes to watch TV, you know, or look on social media and I'm wasting time. So that's something that I'm working on. But, you know what? I just have to come to a place to say, you know what? I need to stop comparing myself to other people. And good for them. If they can, you know, sleep 3 hours and be ready for work and be ready to take down the day, good for them. I applaud you. Your body works awesome for you. And I'm not saying mine's is bad. I'm just saying that mine requires something different to be functional and to be productive. So I think I'm going to end it here. I've been going on for a moment. But if you have anything you want to say to me about self-care and what you think it is and how it works and all of that good stuff, leave me a voice note. You can DM me on Instagram at Singleship Goals. Yeah, thanks. Okay, guys, so it is the moment that you have been waiting for. It is the why am I still single or my heck no moment. And with it being the month of November, I wanted to give you a Thanksgiving themed one. So I'll let you know how Thanksgiving ties into this a bit later. But pretty much, this particular guy that I dated, he was a football player. And I'm just going to kind of give you the string of events, okay? He was a football player. And, you know, me and him, we started talking on the phone and, you know, texting. He would text me like scriptures and stuff in the morning. He was a saved guy. We both said we were on the same page, that we were both waiting to marriage. And, you know, it was a cool little
situation. I had met him through my relative, and his complaint, the reason why my relative had introduced me to him, is because he said that he couldn't find a real woman of God, and that he kept like slipping up with other girls because they would tempt him or whatever. So I guess he got what he asked for and he wasn't ready for it, but more about that later. So when I first went to kind of hang out with him or see him, I went to his football game. I think we may have watched a movie first. I'm not for sure. But I know one of the first or second times we saw each other, it was at his football game. So I go to the football game and I'm standing behind this lovely married couple, and something in my heart told me it was his parents. But I didn't want to just randomly be like, hey, I think I'm talking to your son. Is your son so-and-so? Because that would have been weird and awkward. So that I didn't do that. But during, like, I think it was halftime, he came over to the gate and he was saying hi and stuff. And, you know, he said hi to his parents and he was like, hey, mom and dad, this is Ronique. Ronique, this is my mom and dad. So of course, the rest of the game, I get to sit with his mother and father and talk to them by myself, along with his nephews. And I kind of was like halfway a babysitter too. Yeah. So, you know, it wasn't like the usual when you meet, you know, the person that you're seeing's parents and you're kind of like with them and, you know, you kind of have that support system. No, I was by myself with his parents. But they were actually really nice, and we hit it off well. Like I think they had a good perception of our good insight, you know, of a person. So our good intuition would be the word. So, you know, and I am a good person. You know, I have Christ in me. I'm for real Holy Ghost filled girl, you know. So I think they could tell that. And, you know, I'm cool too. You know, I have a nice personality. When a conversation is sparked, I can, you know, go on and talk about it. And I'm very good at being calm and not looking nervous, because I was extremely nervous. Because I typically don't meet guys' parents. The only set of parents that I met before this particular experience was one guy when I was still in the world, and I kind of didn't like, I wasn't serious about him as he was about me, and I think his parents could read into that. So his parents could not stand me at all. So this was a very different situation. So that was the first encounter, and I think I went to like a few more games, like maybe one or two more games. And so those games, naturally, I sat with his parents again. So we, you know, got to know each other. So there came a time where we were supposed to go on a date, but he canceled the date because it was like a brunch at their church. And so he had something to do at the church, and he was like, he had to open the church and stuff. So he canceled our date, and I was so mad about it. So he was like, well, this wasn't the reason why, but he invited me, at least I don't think that's the reason why, but he invited me to the little church brunch thing, okay? So now, at this point, very in the early beginning stages of, you know, within a month, I probably met his parents. And, you know, within probably month three, I was meeting his whole entire church, all like all the mothers in the church, his pastor, everybody. Okay. So, and I didn't ask for none of this. Okay. I didn't ask for none of this. I was just trying to see what he was about. He was trying to see what I was about. And this kind of all just happened. So, you know, I met all the mothers. I was walking around. He was introducing me to everybody. I'm shaking everybody's hand. They're like, oh, she's so pretty, and all this stuff. So I was flattered, of course, but it, you know, I was nervous, y'all. I was for real nervous. So the brunch took place like on the patio area. And so his mother and father were there too, but they were inside with it with their nephews. So I go inside, you know, where his mother and father were, and his dad scolded me, you guys, because it since month one or the last time, whatever the last time was, I went to the game. It had been a few, you know, it'll probably have been like a few weeks or maybe like a month since the last time I had seen or talked to his parents. And so he was like, where you been? Like, you know, how come you haven't been around, basically? And I was just like, and the truth was, this young man that I was dating at the time, he had gotten so busy or whatever, and we were supposed to be getting together and we weren't, because whatever he had gone on for himself. So I did not snitch on him. I took the rap for him and I just told him, you know, I apologize. You know, I've been busy, but I'll make sure to come around more. And they were like, okay, cool. You know, and I did let him know, the next time I'm not taking the rap for you, I am totally going to snitch on you in front of your dad. Because clearly they don't know what's going on. But, that was that. Now, at the end of the little brunch thingy, his brother is married, his older brother. His wife had just given birth to twins, okay? So, I was planning on going home, okay? This young man invited me to the hospital. It told me I could, you know, ride up to the hospital with them. Or I think I drove my car there and or something. And he was like, no, come. And I was just like, I don't think I should do that, because that's a really like intimate family time. And he was like, no, don't worry about it. I was like, what about your sister-in-law? Like, ain't that like an intrusion? And he was like, no, my family's like not like that. Don't worry about it. Come, you know, come with me and come see the babies. So I was like, okay, cool. So I go up to the hospital. I'm in the waiting room with them. I go and see in the room and see the twins. They have two beautiful baby boys, I believe. I believe it was twins. Yeah, so like all of this is happening and like we haven't even like became boyfriend and girlfriend yet. I done met his mom and daddy. I done met his whole church. I done met his brother and his sister-in-law. And I've been at the hospital with them when they just had delivered. Okay. I'm telling you all this for a reason. So then, the next thing was, so it got to a point where it was like, we had been dating for like, I want to say 6 months. I think it was 6 months. And I was kind of like at the point, like, okay, like, this is 6 months has gone by and I don't really know where this is going. Like, by now you should know whether you like me, whether you want to take the next step and become boyfriend and girlfriend, or, you know, what is happening. So I think he felt pressured. I wasn't trying to put any pressure on him. I just wanted to know where he was at with his feelings. And if he still didn't know, then I was going to bounce, to be honest. Because I already given you 6 months. Like, you should know by now. And, like, now the point I'm at, if I'm dating somebody, they don't even get that long. Because that's half a year. That's a long time out of my life to just be wasting my time with somebody. So, anyways, he, you know, finally asked me to be his girlfriend or whatever. And so it was cool, you know. We were dating. I think we went on like another date. It was supposed to be like something for his birthday, but he again decided to do something related to church instead of having like a regular dinner for his birthday. He had kind of like a youth meeting. It was dinner, but it was like a youth meeting. So it's like the pastor was there and then like a couple other people that were part of their youth team or whatever at their church came as well. And he kind of just invited me along because I wanted to spend time with him because it was his birthday. So we did that. And so then, I sat in on a youth meeting as well. So then shortly after that, we're talking on the phone or whatever, and he tells me, oh, my mom, she wants you to come to Thanksgiving. And I'm like, oh, really? And he's like, yeah. And I was like, well, I don't have to come if you don't want me to. And low key, I was really nervous. I felt like that was a lot. Like, I felt like a lot of things kind of like went fast because I like to seriously date somebody for a while before even introducing them to my parents. He met my mom because he came and surprised me at my church service. And my mom was there. So he did meet my mom, but it wasn't like planned or anything. But that happened. And then I think in that same conversation, he was just like, he didn't want to date me anymore. Because this is what happened. I said, okay, I didn't want to not accept it. And I've never been into a boyfriend's Thanksgiving or anything. So I was just like, okay, well, yeah, if your mom wants me to come, I'll go if you're cool with me going or whatever. And then he kind of said something to the effect of like, it was moving too fast or whatever. But that's why I was saying all those things before. He introduced me to his parents. He introduced me to his whole church. He had me sit in his youth meeting. Like, he had me up in the hospital with his brother and sister-in-law. Like, I didn't ask for none of that stuff. Like, none of that. I was just trying to get to know the boy and see if we could be boyfriend and girlfriend and see where it went from there. But he broke up with me over Thanksgiving, y'all. Because his mama invited me to Thanksgiving. I guess that was the straw that broke the camel's back. I don't know about what was happening before that. I don't know if maybe I had too much of a strong personality for him. Because I was very straightforward. And I'm a very black and white person. I don't like people to play games. And he didn't necessarily play games like that. Like, he was always honest and stuff. But I always made clear what my expectations were. And I don't know if he was really ready for all of that. I don't know. Maybe I wasn't what he expected. I have no idea. But I've never been broken up over Thanksgiving. Like, but I could tell when he was telling me about his mother inviting me to a Thanksgiving that he didn't want me to come. But my thing was, like, you didn't even have to tell me. Like, you could have had that conversation with your mother. You didn't even have to tell me about Thanksgiving. If you was ready to break up, we could have just broke up. Like, it was just weird how the whole thing happened. But I don't know. Maybe y'all can let me know if anyone else out there has been broken up over a holiday, coming over for a holiday. Because that was the part that stuck out most to me. And that is another reason why I am still single. So if you guys have anything to share about, like, I don't know, weird, awkward breakups or why you're still single, send me a voice note and I will listen to it. And, maybe you'll be on my podcast. We'll see. And let's see. So just a reminder, guys. I do have an Instagram at Singleship Goals, and as well as you can see my link to my blog there. I have a blog that kind of gives a foretelling of different things that transpired before I became who I am now, which is what I feel is the definition of Singleship Goals, or I might not be all the way there, but I'm getting there. So, and we know singleship goals is what it means to love yourself and to be happy and content in singleness. So, till next time, guys. Peace. You guys all have a wonderful holiday. God bless.